Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 24, 2020. Coronavirus is changing reality, part 3. Question. Now we are on the threshold of the Passover holiday and the symbol of this holiday is 10 plagues sent to Pharaoh. Is the coronavirus epidemic the beginning of a series of cataclysms? Answer. There is no doubt that we are at a very interesting stage in our development, which today requires us to get closer to each other in a more correct way. What is required from us is not mutual trade, not mutual revenue, when we use each other wanting to profit at someone else's expense, but the relationship to each other through good connections. Then we can fly, move, and connect as much as we want. Question. Are you talking about some kind of internal sensory relationships? Answer, about intentions. Question. Indeed, today we feel a great dependence of everyone on everyone. If a glacier was melting somewhere before or there was a war, it was not felt at all. Today, however, it affects the whole world and naturally everyone is concerned. There is relative solidarity here, but it is seemingly negative. I do not want to be dependent on others. How can we move from forced integration when we feel this dependence to positive integration? Answer. There is nothing we can do. We can only learn from the example of ancient Egypt. There, too, everything was done through the blows, through 10 Egyptian plagues. Imagine that there will be no coronavirus, so there will be something else. Let's say we live quietly as we did a couple of months ago. And suddenly there is a war somewhere in Africa and Latin America, no matter where, because of which the extraction of some raw materials, for example, rare earth metals, stops. Because of a couple of kilograms produced in a year, the entire economy can stop. What will you do then? All governments will immediately start pursuing these two countries, which are at war with each other and stopping the export of material necessary for the whole world. The world will still discover global dependence and will have to take measures to ensure that relations between everybody are smooth and good. Otherwise, there will be nothing. Comment. By the way, Wikipedia gives the following definition of interdependence. In an interdependent relationship, it is assumed that all participants emotionally, economically, environmentally, morally, and in some other way influence each other. In other words, dependence is not only physical but also moral. My response, yes, it is manifested at all levels. Question, does it mean that there is a lack of understanding of this dependence in society? Answer, this is the main thing. This is why if we want to wreck each other's lives, we stop trading, even to our own detriment, only to make sure that it will be even worse for the other. Question. What kind of pain do you think people feel today? How does the virus affect people? What is the state humanity is in? Answer. Today, people do not yet feel the full essence of this problem. They digest it, but they are not choking on it yet, so to say, they are not really concerned. Well, there is, of course, a virus. Well, out of 100 million 100 people die. So what? You see, this is not the scale that can impress the world. Comment. It was the same in Egypt, these blows also began slowly. However, we have a chance to come to our senses. My response, yes. By disseminating the method of integral connection we can explain that all this can be stopped. From CAB TV's Coronavirus is Changing Reality. March 12, 2020. The virus softens our hearts. We are in a special period of preparation to leave Egypt. This is a multilateral preparation because we need to realize that we are being held in Egyptian slavery under the rule of Pharaoh, our egoism, which entangles us and disallows us to escape. We need to feel connected, as if we were in straitjackets, in the captivity of our own egoism, which rules over all of our thoughts, desires, and movements. The more we will feel this alien power, the further we will be able to advance toward the exit and attain a desire to escape from egoism. Every day we will increasingly feel the power of egoism. The coronavirus will help us realize that we have always been slaves of Pharaoh even though we did not notice it. Our whole past life was arranged according to the laws, rules of conduct, and program of Pharaoh. The whole world is Egypt, but people do not feel like slaves of an evil ruler. Instead, they consider their lives to be normal under a good king who cares about them. Pharaoh demands nothing from us except to honor his laws and worship his values. This is how things used to be. Suddenly, a foreign power called the coronavirus appeared and shows us how disgusting our relationships are and how unbearable the power of Pharaoh is. This becomes evident if one exits it and looks at it from the side instead of accepting it as inevitability and the law of nature. It is necessary for us to revise all the industrial and family ties that we built before, as well as our attitudes toward life and death. We must not go back to our old ways. This virus is giving us an opportunity to sort out our past state. Let's analyze it and find out if we want to go on with our lives as though nothing happened. Did we like that kind of life? What kind of joy did we experience traveling from place to place all the time, buying everything that advertisements enticed us to buy? All our life was built according to the template imposed on us by the media and advertisements that dictated how to think, what to buy, and how to act. A full revision is the first step in our correction. We will try to evaluate what was good and what was bad. Then, we will imagine a new state, a new life, and how we could change it. After all, even before the epidemic, our lives were not cloudless. We did not choose how to live, our egoism chose for us and pushed us to build the type of society, environment, and world that was convenient for it. It turned us into nature's enemies. We destroyed it. We burned and killed plants and animals so that there is no longer any place on earth where we can live normally. We built concrete houses in which we hide from everyone, and we are afraid of each other. Our children have gone even further and they hide inside computers so they have nothing left but the artificial world that we created for them. The coronavirus, which has shaken us so hard, gives us the opportunity to see where we are, where we have arrived, and who we are. So proud of our minds, enlightenment, and freedom, who could build a different type of life for ourselves. Maybe we are just animals developing according to the egoistic program of nature installed in us. Egoism forces us to build relationships that lead to war, destruction, and global crisis. We have long expected a crisis to break out. But suddenly, the coronavirus appeared in its place. This is something new. Not a financial crisis nor a war, but a crisis of our relations. First of all, the virus is breaking our ties. Is forcing everyone to isolate themselves and to fear one common threat. Today, all the inhabitants of this world are afraid of one common thing. It is good that we are not afraid of each other but of one common enemy. Maybe, amid the fear of coronavirus, we can better connect with each other, help one another, get closer, and feel that we belong to one humanity? It turns out that coronavirus is our friend and assistant, the pointer of the Creator from above. After all, he was able to resolve our discord and unite us. Imagine that you have many children who constantly quarrel with each other, fight, and curse, and you don't know how to calm them down. Now suddenly, something appears that resolves the fight, moves the children away from each other, and instead of the claims against each other, something external gives them a general alarm. A common misfortune brings us together, and gives us a reason to think about one thing and feel in unison. Let's see in this virus a means of drawing closer to each other. It softens our hearts. Although we associate it with deprivations and fears, this is not so. It comes out of love. It comes to us with love, not with a stick, hatred, or threat. Instead of separating us from each other, the virus will give us the opportunity to build new relationships between us. The virus expresses our egoism because it settles down where there is egoism. It turns out that we need to look not for a virus, but for egoism, and so we will reveal our evil more and more and move away from it. And having turned our attitude into a good one, we will heal everything with this attitude. We will be able to hug each other without fear of infections or viruses. The whole world will be connected with good, friendly ties. Each one will think, first of all, about what good means in the eyes of the other, and then approach him accordingly. That is, I rise above my egoism, find out what is good in the opinion of other people, and build connections with them on this basis. This resembles the order of spiritual work, self-restriction, screen, refusal to work with one's desires, and the reflected light, the desire to bestow according to one's perception of the good. It turns out that every crisis has been given for our benefit. It is written that no one is cruel in the king's domain. One only needs to advance quickly day by day, and the most important thing is not physical actions but spiritual ones. Otherwise, the opportunity for correction that this virus provides us will dissipate. Then nature will push us with tougher measures, and we should not wait for them. Let's advance in its direction and help it of our own free will. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, March 18, 2020. Lesson on the topic Pesach, Passover. The Times of Israel published my new article, How to Make Optimal Use of the Coronavirus Era. Mutual responsibility is the fundamental law of nature. It is what connects between all elements of nature on still, vegetative, animate and human levels as a single system. According to the law of mutual responsibility, as the human elements in the system, whether we know it or not, we have an obligation to understand what our attitudes should be toward the system in order to bring about a state of equilibrium, relations of mutual consideration, support, love and care among all of its parts. The problem is that we are unable to perceive the law of mutual responsibility, and thus we have no idea how to meet its demands. The problem of agreeing with the law of mutual responsibility. How could an individual agree to being blamed for the entire system becoming imbalanced and bringing about suffering to so many people? How could an individual feel that crises occurring in the world are due to his or her failing to fulfill a certain role in the system? Such a view stands against our very reason, which by default blames other people and other things in the world for our shortcomings. However, according to nature's perfect functionality, a well-oiled system of mutual consideration and responsibility, every individual element is equivalent to the whole system. Thus, every element holds monumental importance and responsibility. If nature's law of mutual responsibility had been revealed to us, we would see that every person is responsible for the entirety of humanity. But we live our lives in concealment of this law, within our individualistic and narrow self-serving perceptions. On one hand, living in concealment of nature's law of mutual responsibility provides us with room for free choice, since if we had clear perception and sensation of our tight interdependence, we would all be compelled to think and act for humanity's common benefit involuntarily, living like animals that instinctively follow nature's commands. On the other hand, human development in concealment of our need to establish mutually considerate and responsible connections led us to a state where we were each ready to exploit, manipulate and even abuse others in order to benefit ourselves, the polar opposite of mutual responsibility. Sit and do nothing, better. There is a Kabbalistic saying that goes, sit and do nothing, better. It means that before we dabble about in all kinds of activities, it is better to stop and contemplate on whether the intention behind our actions is correct, whether what we are about to do will lead us all in a positive direction, and whether we aim ourselves at benefiting other people and nature and not simply live our lives trying to fulfill self-serving interests. Until very recently, we were in a competitive egoistic grind trying to profit from each other as much as we could. We were engaged in a common attempt to make our way in life by trying to prosper from our exploitation of other people, as well as from nature's still, vegetative and animate levels. Nature itself then revealed a new situation that forced us to enter the state of sit and do nothing, better that Kabbalists discuss. How? It was by giving us the coronavirus. Together with the rapid global spread of the coronavirus, conditions materialized from one country to the next in classic domino effect fashion, as if nature, like a caring yet strict parent, grabbed its misbehaving child, humanity, by the arm, and put us into detention. Now, listen to me. You're not going out anywhere for a while. No going out at night. No parties. No traveling overseas. No meeting up with your friends. You can only go out to get whatever you need to get by, and then you have to come straight back home. I want you to think about why you're in detention, about what you were doing wrong. You're getting older now, and you can't keep going around making a mess anymore, only thinking about yourself, like a baby. Global scale blows call for global awakening. The 2008 global financial crisis was a major wake-up call for humanity to realize how globally interconnected and interdependent we were. The fact that one bank falling in one country led to more banks falling in other countries, which further prompted home foreclosures, mass unemployment, and later, protests around the world, words like global interconnection and global interdependence, which mostly New Agent spiritual types had used before that incident in niche circles, then became the words of politicians and economists heard frequently in the daily news. We were taught a lesson in how the value of maximizing self-interests at the expense of others, which worked itself across a chain of loan borrowers, lenders, investment banks, investors and ratings agencies, prompted a collapse of our financial infrastructures, which had further negative rippling effects felt by people all around the world. In other words, we were taught a lesson in how by living in an interdependent world while thinking only about our personal benefit leads to crisis. Today's coronavirus crisis comes to show us how globally interconnected and interdependent we are on a whole new level. Humanity has become quarantined, each person and family in their respective homes, for a considerable amount of time, in order to give us room for introspection and learning. Today, however, we are given a chance not only to see how interconnected and interdependent we are, and how our paradigm of maximizing self-interests at others' expense was leading us to a dangerous state. This time, we have been given conditions and time to learn how we can realize our interdependence in a positive manner, by learning how to act in a mutually considerate and responsible way toward each other. With the limitations imposed on us today, it would be beneficial for us to learn about how we can change our interdependence from one that nature compels us to wake up to via means that we sense as undesirable and even painful, to an interdependence that we perceive as desirable. In other words, today we can learn how to want to take responsibility for others, how we can find pleasure in thinking and acting for other people's benefit, and how such a form of connection is much more fulfilling than our previous mode of thinking and acting out of self-benefit alone. If we take a step toward engaging ourselves in such a form of integral learning, education that enriches our connection to each other and with nature, we will discover that outside of our desires to benefit ourselves alone exists a heavenly life. Implementing connections of mutual consideration and responsibility among each other will click us into balance with nature, and we will then feel nature in its perfection and wholeness. Wake up and smell the shift to a new evolutionary phase. Sit and do nothing, better, is the next phase of human evolution that nature has driven us to realize with the onset of the coronavirus. It is a necessary phase that we have to experience in order to depart from the self-interest-based rat race that we were running beforehand. Today, with the mass-scale quarantine-like conditions imposed on us by the coronavirus pandemic, nature is encouraging us to settle down and start a new process of introspective learning about who we are, what is this reality we are in, what are its laws, to what extent do we depend on each other and on nature, to what extent does nature depend on us, and how can we make optimal use of this state in order to upgrade ourselves, to act more harmoniously with each other and with nature? At this juncture, integral connection enriching education comes to our aid. To realize the state we have entered ideally, we would benefit most from absorbing wisdom of connection as regularly as we consume the news, or as much as we play video games or engage in social media, that is, that we nourish ourselves with educational materials, examples and practical activities that infuse us with the necessity and importance to become more considerate, responsible and caring of one another. By doing so, we will open ourselves up to a whole new dimension of existence, where we will experience nothing less than perfection, peace, unification, and complete fulfillment and happiness. We have been handed a momentous opportunity to rise considerably in our relations to each other and with nature, and to deepen our awareness of the system of nature and its laws. I thus hope that we will make constructive use of this unique period we have entered, and indeed use it to become more balanced and harmonious with nature. Coronavirus, nature's boomerang. Mutual guarantee is a concept familiar to everyone since childhood. We have always been taught that we need to support each other, otherwise we will be lost. But today, mutual guarantee, connection between people, is becoming an unusually enhanced and relevant topic. The coronavirus epidemic that has swept the world gives us the opportunity to learn something new about our lives and relationships in the global world. On the other hand, it shows us what power each, even the smallest element of nature, possesses. The world seems so huge, but suddenly it turns out that a tiny virus can plunge it into chaos and darkness. This shows us what personal responsibility each of us bears before the world in our time so as not to be a pest in it and not to infect others. Think, some simple trader from a Chinese market has made such dramatic changes in the world. This shows the power each of us possess in the global world, and what responsibility lies on each in relation to everyone. There is a simple law in the science of Kabbalah, the general and the particular are equal. The general is only a collection of private elements, and therefore it depends on each of them. It is impossible to pull even the single smallest element out from the general without destroying the general. Without one particle, it will be flawed because it lacks this part. Therefore, we look at coronavirus and do not understand how such a microscopic particle has managed to create so many troubles in the world. But in fact, the virus shows us what damage we have done in the entire system at the biological level, the highest level of nature. Above it, there are only thoughts and intentions of people. We must understand that everything starts with the head. Therefore, if there is a breakdown within the biological system, then it is a consequence of a malfunction in the system of thought and desire that are above the biological level. It should be clarified what kind of problems there are in the relationship within a person, with others, with humanity in general, which creates such distortions as viruses at the biological level. Apparently, there is a problem in our relationships, they are not integral. We have already violated all laws of the integral nature and disallow its normal existence. Therefore, the destruction that we create in nature, where everything must be connected and harmonious, has become so significant that it hit everyone in the form of a virus. The epidemic really affects everyone because we live in an integral world. And therefore, it doesn't matter who lives where, everyone has suffered. Whether it be a Chinese peasant, a stockbroker in Hong Kong, or an American, because we are in a common, connected system. Once we lived more isolated and depended only on our local area because the world was not global. But today's world is so integrated that any Chinese village is linked along a chain through a network of trade relations with all of humanity. We are used to the fact that the fate of the world is managed by governments, and suddenly the reins are at the disposal of a tiny virus. We are all parts of one integrated system called Adam, human being, and we depend on each other without exception. And if this system is increasingly showing our dependence and obliging us to improve it, then let's learn how to fit in this system, or it will be bad for us. Otherwise, new deadly viruses will be revealed every day. The system indicates that we are required to connect with each other through positive connections. But we need to find out what positive means, because our egoism considers only that which is beneficial for it to be positive. In order to find out what is really positive, we need to study the whole system, and then each and every one together to act to maintain its integrity. Apart from this, nothing is required, only to take care of others, as of oneself. Between us there must be a global, mutual guarantee, which is higher than any separation and personal goals. Mutual care, positive connection among us is above all, and it must determine all existing individual bonds between us. Mutual guarantee is the highest law in nature, existing only in nature. All other laws and forms of behavior are derived from it. Thanks to the coronavirus, the law of mutual guarantee is now being disclosed worldwide. Nature decided to show us who we are and how opposite to it we are. Maybe during this crisis, we will learn what should be done to become an integral part of nature. Having fulfilled the law of mutual guarantee, we humans will bring nature into balance. Achieving complete balance and harmony of the forces of nature is a true paradise. From CAB TV's New Life number 1212, March 10, 2020. The Essence and the Root of Unity, Part 4. Why should we unite? Question: Nature and Creator in Gematria have the same numeric meaning. You can call it a nature, you can call it Creator, you can call it laws of nature or laws or commandments of the Creator. All of these are the same. What is the purpose of nature? Answer: Nature has a single purpose, to bring creations, which it specially created as if having been repulsed from it, not in the same coordination, and integral system with nature, so that in this way they can gradually determine through their development that their union with each other and with nature is in the best state. Question: It turns out, there are kind of two tendencies or two forces that develop us. The first force emanates and integrates, the second one receives and absorbs. And so forth on all levels. On the inanimate level, atoms unite into molecules, and these molecules combine into more complex organisms. The same integration takes place on the human level, where people from small tribal formations integrate into megacities. On the other hand, we see that there is a constant growth of egoism. That is, matter constantly becomes increasingly complex, diverse, divided, and improved. Why is it important to understand these two trends? Why should we unite? Answer: We should unite because we must become like the general nature. It is integral and global in all of its manifestations. We see that although galaxies fly apart, stars explode, planets form, all this happens in a general tendency. First, it is all interconnected. Therefore, if somewhere in the universe something happens even with the smallest particle, then almost the entire universe feels it. After all, everything comes from one root and under the influence of one force called the Big Bang. No matter what happens, everything has its root emanating from the Big Bang. Everything scatters from the Big Bang outwardly. Thus, all parts of matter that are known and unknown to us, at all levels, all events, all laws, are interconnected. In cosmology, this process that occurred after the Big Bang is called the process of large unification, when all the elements began to connect, integrate, and form all kinds of matter. From CAB TV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, March 24, 2019. Kabbalah, the only method of revealing the Creator. Question: Why is there only one truth and it lies in Kabbalah? Why aren't there any other different paths to discover the spiritual world? Answer: Egoism is created as opposed to the upper light. There is nothing besides the Creator, light, quality of love and bestowal, and the created being, quality of reception, self-concern, sensations and oneself. Thus, all that is needed is to build the right connection between them for egoism, desire to enjoy, to acquire the form of the Creator. It is as simple as 1 + 1, nothing more. Thus there cannot be many methodologies. By its nature, the method of Kabbalah is very rigid and categorical. It says, do this, and that's it. Therefore, we cannot offer it in this way to others. For now, we have to soften it, structure it, place it in some socially acceptable parameters so that it feels more palatable, like a bitter pill with a sweet coating. Question: but all other methodologies come from the Creator too. There is none else besides Him. There are about 3,800 various spiritual practices. Is this a game on His part for the whole humanity to come closer to Him? Answer: there is an enormous number of different souls that approach their final correction differently. However, their final correction will still happen with the help of the method of Kabbalah. They must necessarily acquire a screen over their egoism and become similar to the Creator. But for now, they are not drawn to it. There are so many religions, faiths, philosophies, and mystical practices out there for them. Question: so, in order to establish a connection with the Creator, a person must dress his desire, acquire a screen on his egoism? Answer: yes. As in technology, there should be a plus, a minus, and a resistor between them. Otherwise, a short circuit will occur. From the TV program Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 25, 2019. Restore the broken system. Question: people are organized in such a way that everyone has a different immune system. There are people who are born with some kinds of genetic ailments, deviations, etc. Are there such deviations in spirituality? Does the science of Kabbalah teach how to get rid of them? After all, there are things that are invisible to the human eye. Answer: everything is determined by our starting point. Each of us is a cell of one single organism called Adam. This system was created by the upper light, and together with it, it participates in everything that is happening and in what exists. The upper light acts on this system, and it gradually changes, reveals its properties and, in turn, affects the light through its feedback. We are the particles of this system. It went through a great path of development under the influence of the light that created, filled, and shattered it. And now all of its particles are in various states of half-life and decay. We must again assemble them into the same system in which they existed before the shattering, that is, restore it. Imagine a toy that was assembled from cubes and then broken, and now you have to collect these cubes in the same system as before. This is our work, and it is very difficult. We must change our nature in order to draw closer to each other, cube to cube. We must desire this connection, understanding what cubes to work with, how we need to interact, and why we are doing this, because otherwise unification will not take place. But we ourselves do not have the strength for this. We only desire that this will happen. Therefore, all our work is to invoke the influence of the upper light, the unifying force that will gradually bring us together into one whole, as we used to be before the shattering. The process of our restoration is this very sequence of the states that we must go through. This is our spiritual life. And our corporeal life is much more broken and dispersed. During this life, we carry out only a small amount of spiritual actions, although we do not understand this. But if we reveal the science of Kabbalah for ourselves, then we can draw the influence of the upper light that will intensively bring us together, unite, condense, and connect us into those states in which we previously existed. The upper light understands how to do this. It develops spiritual genes in us that connect us together. We can see in movies how a combination of various chemical, protein structures forms some kind of a system, and in the same way we unite in our internal structures. Externally we do not feel it. But if we ourselves strive for internal unity, we will begin to feel how we are attracted to or disconnected from each other. And here we already have free will. We move on to this by ourselves or invoke the influence of the upper light. This is the way we act. This is our fate. We need not wait for nature to teach us, through all kinds of blows and punishments, that it is worth being closer to each other. If we begin to direct ourselves correctly toward the upper light, so that it performs these actions on us, then they will pass quickly and we will be able to feel unity. In this unity, we will reveal the whole system, the upper force, and our correct present and future states. In principle, even in small associations, we will be able to feel some resemblance to the correct final state. This is something that we can already now reveal and strive toward. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 2nd, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora, What Does Nature Teach Human Beings? Nature is leading us to the understanding that we are parts of a single interconnected and interdependent system, and that we need to reach a higher level of connection among each other in order to discover nature's perfection and eternity. We are all egoists by nature. What this means is that all of our thoughts and actions are ultimately motivated by a desire to enjoy at the expense of anything and anyone around us. As egoists, we each perceive a narrow reality. We feel ourselves as separate from other people and things, primarily concerned with our personal problems, each in a constant race after ephemeral pleasures. Also, as egoists, the way we conduct ourselves increasingly clashes with the opposite way that nature conducts itself. In contrast to the human egoistic quality, nature aims to connect everyone and everything into a single harmonious whole. A harmonious whole acts such that each part receives what it needs for its sustenance, and gives according to its ability for the benefit of the whole, similar to how cells and organs of a healthy human body function. While our egoistic quality increasingly clashes with nature's altruistic quality, we experience more and more blows. Blows from nature can appear as global pandemics, as we're now experiencing with the coronavirus, as well as myriad other forms, from major ecological disasters through to each of our personal feelings, where depression, anxiety, stress, loneliness, emptiness, meaninglessness, and other such negative sensations have been increasingly tearing away at us for many years. What is the purpose of the blows nature sends us? What is nature trying to teach us through all the pains and problems it sends us? It is all for us to pause for a moment and start contemplating our life, its purpose, why we are suffering, and rethink the direction in which we are headed. We can then use such introspection to elevate ourselves from our current egoistic mode of existence, where the causes of our pains are hidden, to a more connected and altruistic mode of existence, where the reasons for our pains are revealed. The wisdom of Kabbalah grants us this ability, to discover the hidden, connected and altruistic laws of nature, and to balance ourselves with these laws. By sending us blows, nature ultimately teaches us that we need to revise the way we live our lives, to recognize the bankruptcy of trying to continue living egoistically as we have until today, and that by changing our attitudes to each other from egoistic to altruistic, where instead of trying to self-benefit all the time, we try to benefit others, we enter into balance with nature, thereby experiencing a harmonious, whole and eternal existence. Two kinds of suffering. Question: Is suffering a manifestation of egoism? Answer: Naturally. What does suffering mean? I want something I do not have. It turns out that unfulfilled egoism causes suffering. There is another kind of suffering, suffering from love, when I want something good for another and suffer if I cannot realize it. It is not so that the other would love me and respond to me, but because I want to give it to him unconditionally. Thus, there is selfish and altruistic suffering. They need to be sorted out. We shift from one suffering to another, from suffering for ourselves to suffering for others. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 26, 2020.